You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, experts say the recent murder of a mob boss in Staten Island is a reminder that the mafia is alive and well. We'll get a history lesson on the mob and find out what they're up to today. First, it's our weekly look at the big news in state politics. The candidates for a seat on Wisconsin's Supreme Court are making their final pitch to voters, with the election just days away. And two lawsuits challenging laws passed during a lame duck session of the legislature are working their way through the courts. J.R. Ross is the editor of WIS Politics. He talked to Central Time executive producer Judith Sears Poisson earlier today.
So next Tuesday, we'll find out who will replace Shirley Abrahamson on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Lisa Neubauer and Brian Hagedorn met for their final debate earlier this week. What did we hear from them?
We heard both of them question if the other has a temperament and a judgment to be in the Supreme Court, but in different ways. You know, Brian Hagedorn has faced criticism over these kind of old blog posts he wrote while he was a law student about various issues. He said those are an attack on his Christian faith, and that Lisa Neubauer is making these of lying, in his words, about his record in a desperate attempt to get in the court. Neubauer has said she's not lying about anything. She's presenting the facts of what he's written before and question if somebody who would go on the attack against Shirley Abrahamson, who's a retiring justice they're trying to replace, who would write that Senator O'Connor's decisions were, quote-unquote, laughable, has a temperament to be in the Supreme Court. I mean, it's really the last minute, like, give and take, the punches they're throwing each other, trying to leave a final impression with voters ahead of the election. Now, the thing about debates is this. Really, they don't have a huge impact on voters a lot of times because they're not watching them. What people like myself are watching for is there a moment, a slip up, a gaffe that is so dramatic that ends up in a TV ad, a radio ad, and the fact was there probably wasn't. We're not seeing closing arguments based off of the debates. We're seeing the ads that, you know, are accusing Neubauer of being somehow compromised ethically and Hagedorn being somebody who's prescribes to an extreme point of view when it comes to various issues.
Now, these are nonpartisan seats on the Supreme Court, but of course, especially in the last several elections that we've had to fill seats, they have clearly been a battle between someone who's identified as liberal, someone who's identified as conservative. The last time we had a Supreme Court election here, liberal-backed Judge Rebecca Dallet won comfortably. What were the keys to her success?
It was a much different environment, much different opponent than what we're seeing right now. And why I say that is that we were in 2018, we were seeing the blue wave building in Wisconsin, right? And Rebecca Dallet talked openly about her values and about things that really appealed to Democratic voters who were unhappy with President Trump. It was just that was the environment that we were in. This race is much different because it's not quite the same environment. Also, Lisa Neubauer is a different kind of candidate. She's running a very traditional Supreme Court race, one that I saw like 10, 12 years ago, where the candidates really would talk about their endorsements, their experience, and shy away from issues. She has, you know, tried her best not to even talk about what her, or give cues about her just her philosophy is. Now, Brian Hagedorn says that the cues are there, that, you know, she is somebody who looks up to Shirley Abrahamson, who is, again, retiring justice, a longtime liberal in the court, and that the cues are there, whereas, you know, Hagedorn is being open about his conservative philosophy. And it's going to be interesting to watch how this plays out because, one, Hagedorn's old blog post, his association with this Christian school that bans employees who are in gay relationships, they've been used to kind of beat up on him. You know, so how is that going to play? Because a lot of like mainstream Republican groups shied away from him. But the grassroots of the Republican Party may be excited by somebody who's not apologizing for his faith, who's embracing these things. Might that get them energized? And, oh, by the way, we have an environment right now where we just had, you know, Governor Evers produced his budget, which angered Republicans. We had a couple of decisions from Dane County judges about these Republican-passed laws and lame duck sessions. Might these things, oh, even the Mueller report, might these things kind of like help energize a conservative base that had been dispirited after losing in November? Well, I don't know yet. We'll find out on Tuesday. But what I'm trying to get at is it's just a much different environment and different candidates than last time. And it might be the same result. It might not. It's fascinating to watch, especially with the late money we're seeing in this race. What does that mean?
In other Supreme Court news, conservative Justice Dan Kelly, whose seat is up for election next year, 2020, isn't certain that he's going to run. But what are we hearing from him?
Well, you know, he gave one interview in which the impression was that he wasn't sure. But when I talked to him, he sounded much more confident about it. He basically said that he didn't want to make an announcement now because he wanted the focus to be on the current Supreme Court race, but that he told me, kind of paraphrasing here, he couldn't imagine doing anything else or want to do anything else besides be a Supreme Court justice. So he sounded much more likely to announce once this race is over. Now, what's interesting to watch with Kelly is that what happens Tuesday is going to have a big, big impact on how his race shapes up next year. The reason I say that is right now, conservatives have a 4-3 majority on the court. If Lisa Neubauer holds the Abramson seat, that keeps that same 4-3 majority, that means 2020 is for control of the court. That's a big deal. Conservatives have had the majority now for more than a decade. However, it's also a very difficult environment next year for Daniel Kelly if he runs because the presidential primary will be on the ballot the same time as the Supreme Court race. Now, that is an eternity away in politics. But we kind of assume right now the Democrats will have still have a contested primary going on for their nomination come April. We don't think Republicans will have the same kind of deal. If that's going on, that means there'll be many more Democrats voting in April 2020 than Republicans. So for a lot of left-to-center candidates are going, hey, if they can just get to that primary next February and have Kelly one-on-one with that dynamic, they should be in good shape. Now, again, that is an eternity in politics. We have to see how a number of things play out, but it does look like a difficult environment for Kelly next year, regardless of what happens, you know, this coming Tuesday.
We're talking with J.R. Ross. He's the editor of WISP Politics, taking a look at some of the biggest state news stories of the week. And J.R., I don't want to rehash all of the lawsuits and decisions and appeals that have happened with lame duck legislation. We've covered that a lot this week on Central Time. But earlier this week, as a result of one of those decisions, Governor Evers rescinded 82 appointments made by Governor Walker that were approved in the lame duck session. Now he's reappointing 67 of those, but 15 he's choosing not to. What are the most interesting ones out of those 15 who are not getting their jobs?
A couple of the most high-profile ones, Public Service Commission member Ellen Novak, who was Governor Walker's DOA secretary. He moved her over from that job to the PSC in the final days of his administration. She was one of the ones who was not reappointed. Also, there were two members of the UV Board of Regents. Now, what's interesting about this whole thing is, one, Republican lawmakers are arguing that Evers was not in the right to rescind those appointments in the first place. So I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV or the radio, but I will tell you that there's probably going to be some more legal wrangling about these appointments before it's all said and done, because Republicans contend that Evers should not have rescinded those appointments and that this stay from the 3rd District Court of Appeals or that Dane County ruling last week basically says those appointments should be restored. Now, I don't know how it's going to play out, but Novak actually went to work this week after that stay came down, tried to go to her office. She was stopped. So that's going to be fascinating to watch how that plays out. And, oh, by the way, how is the politics playing out for Governor Evers? You know, Governor Evers is somebody who ran last fall talking about reaching across the aisle, trying to be bipartisan, getting things done after 8 years, in his words, of a partisan governor in Scott Walker. But Republicans have complained repeatedly so far that Evers is not living up to his campaign pledge and not reaching across the aisle. Now, you know, in reappointing the 67, maybe that's, you know, an attempt at bipartisan, like, hey, those appointments weren't valid, but hey, I pointed to all these people that Governor Walker wanted. But these other ones, the question is, what will the political price be, if any, for Governor Evers? It's not helping him build a relationship with Republicans, and that bleeds into his budget, because if they can't get along or find some kind of compromise, common ground, how do they reach a deal on that budget, which is the biggest document we're going to see this year?
Well, J.R., we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for bringing us up to speed.
Anytime. Take care.
J.R. Ross is the editor of WISP Politics. He talked to Judith Sears-Poisson with the latest from the state capitol.